I'll utter the fateful words, I'm going to try not to be long tonight. Yeah, you're in trouble now. Genesis 24. I'm going to preach the whole chapter, Dave. Genesis 24. This, of course, is the passage we've been to so often, where Isaac gets his wife through Eliezer, the servant of Abraham. A type, of course, of God the Father sending the Holy Spirit into the world to get a wife for Jesus Christ. But you'll notice here, go all the way down to verse 11, if we could. And he, that is Eliezer the servant, made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day. Show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water. The daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. Let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Very specific prayer, amen? Do you pray that specifically? Verse 15. It came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. The damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. The servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her a pitcher upon her hand, gave him drink. When she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also till they have done drinking. Verse 20. And she hasted, emptied her pitcher into the trough, and ran again into the well to draw water, and drew it for all his camels. And the man wondering at her held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. He must not have had any chocolate. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for your goodness here, and we look for instruction here tonight. Maybe can shed a little light in maybe some darker corners of some things that maybe somebody's worried about, concerned about, praying about. Pray to give us wisdom in these things, Father. There's a balance in these things, I know. I just pray you'd help us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now this is one of those passages you kind of keep coming back to every time you read it through. Find something kind of new in it. And I was reading through here the other day, started my Bible over, and just there was something that caught my eye. I'll tell you about it in a second. But this passage is not just about how to get a wife or how to get a prayer answered, all right? It's about God's providential work in somebody's life. It's the way that God does things. Look in this passage, you'll find here that this man is led to a well of water, gets down on his knees and prays, and before he is done speaking, that part of the prayer is answered, right? It's about that. It's about answered prayer. It's about finding the will of God for your life. And I know that some folks pray for a long time about that. Guys pray about the mission field, about the pastorate, about the ministry. Folks pray sometimes for a long, long time about the will of God. Maybe you can shed some light on some of that here tonight. But folks, Genesis chapter 24, from verse 12 down to 22 or so, is exactly what you need in your life. I mean, for you to pray and for God to answer like that and to give you absolute direction, right? Is that what you want or not? I mean, really. You've prayed before, I'm sure, and haven't gotten some answers back you wanted, wasn't definitive enough for you. I'm sure what you'd love to see is for you to be able to pray And before it's done out of your mouth, that something comes to pass, just like you prayed. Right? So I was thinking about that a little bit, and I'd sure like to see some of that more in my life. But folks, this is God's manifest hand and guidance. And again, verse 15, before he's done speaking. And then verse 19, this girl says exactly what he prayed. I mean, he said, I want a drink. And just like he had said before, he said, let the one who says, I'll give you drink, then I'll draw for your camels also. Let her be the one, right? Well, she said that. So by this juncture, folks, for most folks, by the time you get to that point, by the time you get down to verse 19, it's all said and done, right? If you get that kind of prayer answered, the will of God is set for you, right? Because exactly what you prayed, God saw fit to answer. So it's done deal, right? You're going to now get married. Only notice verse 20. She hasted, emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran again to the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. But notice verse 21. And the man wondering at her held his peace, to wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. You mean, you don't know yet whether your journey is prosperous? I mean, you pray this prayer, the Lord answers exactly like you'd said. This woman answers exactly like you said, and you still don't know whether your journey is prosperous or not, right? So, folks, I don't know. Answered prayer is pretty exciting. I'm sure some of you have prayed before. If you haven't been a Christian very long, maybe it hasn't happened to you yet. But sometimes, somewhere along the way, I know I, as a Christian, have prayed before, and it seems like God answered that prayer very, very specifically. And yet, in the end, it still was a question, I suppose, in the end, if whether this was the will of God or not for me. And so, somewhere along the way, some folks in this room are going to pray about some things. You're going to pray and you're going to say, should I date this guy? Should I date this girl? Should I marry this guy? Should I marry this girl? Should I buy this thing? Should I sell this thing? Right? Should I move to take this job where I get a raise? Should I do this? Should I do that? Right? Should I, Lord, go into the ministry? Lord, are you calling me into the ministry? Are you calling me to the mission field? That sort of thing, all right? And something you really, really want an answer on, and maybe you even get an answer. Maybe it's a definitive answer, like right here. I mean, was this prayer answered? Look at the passage you read in verse 18, 19. She did exactly what he prayed. And yet still, in verse 21, the man still sets wandering at her and held his peace, to wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous. Now imagine, I bet Eliezer's sitting here while this thing's going on, while he's watching her water these camels. I bet his heart is jumping, right? Don't you figure that? And that was he's a third party this time. He's getting a bride for somebody else. If it's your bride, you're going to really be excited, right? You're going to have a little trouble holding your feet still, because this is really exciting. Yet I noticed in verse 21 and 22, there's something else going on there, because this is kind of a strange reaction for somebody that's hasty of heart, because verse 21, he still doesn't know whether the Lord has made his journey prosperous or not. In verse 22, this is what we're after. It came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took the golden earring of half a shekel weight, and she's engaged now. Pretty much, right? But he waited till the camels were done drinking. So I got some advice for you tonight. The title of this message is Wait Till the Camels Are Done Drinking. Thing is, folks, you see so many people make mistakes in haste. I mean, they consider their prayers to have been answered. They prayed something somewhere along the way. And they consider those prayers to have been answered. And those prayers having been answered, they went full bore, straight ahead. There are so many people that make so many mistakes in haste. There are so many young people, young Christian people, that make so many mistakes in haste. So I'm going to admonish you tonight, wait until the camels have drunk. All right? And like I said, we're kind of far from camels, I guess, these days. We're not even near the farm anymore, but nevertheless, wait till the camels have drunk. All right? I have some observations to make. Maybe it'll help you. Maybe it won't. It helped me. First of all, there's a couple of things. First of all, notice, now she says, I'll draw for thy camels also, right? This guy says, have the one that gives me water be the one that says, I'll give your camels drink also. And sure enough, that's what happened. But before the guy did his little victory dance in the end zone or anything, he waited until the camels had drunk. Now notice back in verse 10, the first observation. There were 10 camels. The servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master. He had 10 camels. Verse 20, she hasted, emptied the pitcher into the trough, ran to the well, drew water, and drew for all his camels. She drew water for 10 camels. Now, you know what? This is not the same as putting out water for the kitty. Okay? I don't deal with camels. Never have. I don't have a towel on my head. Whatever. But I've dealt with horses. I've dealt some with cattle, of course. I know that when a cow is thirsty, a horse is thirsty, they can drink a lot of water. I do not know how many trips she made. I know that she drew enough for 10 camels. Now, folks, that turned into quite a job, I'd say, right? 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, I'm not really sure. But that's a long time, it seems, to wait when you feel like your prayers have already been answered. And yet, verse 22 bears witness, the man wondering at her, held his peace to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous. Came to pass as the camels had done drinking. He waited till those camels had done drinking. All right? Second observation. You, when you're making decisions, when you're trying to get in the will of God, trying to figure out what the will of God is, you need to guard against over-anticipating. You need to guard against over-anticipating. I've known folks that see answers to prayer. They see the will of God in absolutely anything that happens, right? Sometimes it's foolish things. Sometimes it's silly things. I've seen guys before trying to make a major decision in their life play Bible roulette. God, show me in the Bible what the answer is. Be sure your sin will find you out. And they still go forward, right? I have honestly known somebody to make a decision, a major decision, for his or her family based on whether his car started that morning. God, if my car starts, you know that I'm supposed to move to Timbuktu. Now, folks, I'm telling you, if you make decisions like that, you are playing spiritual roulette, all right? That is stupid. Sometimes you have to be careful about guarding against over-anticipating. In other words, sometimes folks get to the point where they're so desperate for something to happen, they want to get married so bad, they want companionship so bad, they want to do this thing so bad, they want to buy this thing so bad, that no matter what happens in their life, they view it in light that this is a go-ahead for it, right? Some folks do that. They do it often. She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. Oh, man, she loves me not. Okay, I'll pick another flower and start with she loves me not, she loves me. Maybe it'll land right this time, right? So no matter what happens, you wind up doing what you want to do. You wind up with the answer you want because you anticipate it, right? That is dangerous stuff. Did the four-year-old really get saved? Wait until the camels have drunk, right? Did my mom get saved on her deathbed, really? You're going to have to wait till the camels have drunk. You'll find out one day, right? But you don't know right now. You don't know whether that four-year-old really, truly got saved because he doesn't really understand some things, right? You're going to have to wait till the camels have drunk. You have a big job offer, right? You're going to get an extra $10,000 a year if you move to Timbuktu. You better wait till the camels have drunk. For instance, you could go check to see if the camels have drunk. Is there a church there that believes a book or not? Wait until the camels have drunk. Some people give the devil way too much leash. And by that I mean that every single circumstance, that because they want it to happen so bad, every single circumstance seems to point them to, you know, going ahead and doing what they want to do. They're giving the devil too much leash. Folks, you give the devil enough leash, he will deceive you. He is a master of deceiving you. If you go into something wanting something so bad, all you need is some sort of go-ahead to do it. I'll tell you who will give it to you. The devil will give it to you. You need to guard against over-anticipating. You know something else? It says down here in verse 22, came to pass as the camels had done drinking. Okay, I want you to make this observation. You're going to need those camels. Now, I know you don't need camels, but you're going to need camels like this. This guy took a long journey to a far country with 10 camels. Those camels are his ride back home, whether he gets a wife for Isaac or not, right? I mean, Abraham said, look, it may be she won't go. If she doesn't go, just come on back. We'll try again some other time, right? Okay, look, the camels have to be taken care of because they are his ride back to Abraham. You've got to take care of the camels. So by that, I mean this. There will be obligations, there will be duties that you have to take care of. You better take care of your camels because you're going to need those camels. Now look, folks, the Lord answered your prayer. And you're a young guy and you really want to get married. You're a young girl, you really want to get married. The Lord showed you in prayer, that you were going to marry this guy. Okay? All right? You need to finish school. You need to grow up. You're 16, he's 16. You need to grow up. You need to develop some spiritual maturity. Maybe the Lord did show you that you're going to marry this guy or you're going to marry this girl. At 16 years old, you're not ready to marry anybody. You're not ready to marry your father, okay? Because you got to grow up. You got to develop some spiritual maturity. This guy still has to prove he can make a living for you, right? You don't want to wind up with a bum, right, that can't make a living. You want to wind up with somebody that can make you a living. The point is, you're going to need that camel, and you better take care of that camel. You have an obligation. You have an obligation to mature. You have an obligation to grow up. You have an obligation to be spiritual yourself. You better make sure and take care of your obligations and duties. You've got to take care of your camels, or you're going to wind up stranded somewhere with no way to get back to Abraham. You know what I'm saying? Did the Lord call you to the mission field? Did the Lord call you to the mission field? A lot of guys wrestle with that, and they say, yes, the Lord definitively told me to go somewhere. Okay. You're going to need money to go somewhere. You're going to have to raise that money to go somewhere. I got news for you. You're going to have to take care of that camel, right? You have obligations and duties to take care of. You're going to take your family to the mission field, and so you have to be prepared to go to the mission field with your family taken care of in some manner or shape. You can't just pack up and go and leave the wife and kids behind. You got to take care of the camels. Okay, wait until the camels have drunk. Look, if you've been called to the mission field, you still have to mature. You still have to prove to folks in your church and in other churches that you go to that you are responsible with money, with spiritual leadership. You've got to take care of those duties. You have to take care of those responsibilities. You have to wait until the camels have drunk. Just because God called you to go to Timbuktu doesn't mean you can leave today. You have to wait till the camels have done drinking, right? Men, did the Lord call you to the pastorate? Well, yes. Well, have you proven you can pray every day before you're in the pastorate? Have you proven to be consistent day in and day out spiritually before you wind up in the pastorate? Why would we think that you would be consistent in the pastorate if you're not consistent out of the pastorate? You've got to take care of that camel, right? You've got to have a prayer life before you can do anything. The Lord gave you a job in Timbuktu, did He? Okay. Is there a church there? Do you serve God where you are? You're so excited about going somewhere else to serve God. But are you serving God where you are? If you're not serving God where you are, why would we think you would serve God where you're going? You've got to take care of the camels. It's a duty. It's a responsibility, right? All right, so number three, you'll need those camels. You better take care of them. You need to slow down. Everybody tries to get ahead of themselves. Because you haven't answered prayer does not mean it's time to go. because you have an answered prayer does not mean you snatch the girl up, tie her up, throw her on the camel, and run back over to Abraham right away. Got to clear some things with her dad first. The camels have to finish their drinking. Men, don't get ahead of yourself. Slow down. God is not offended if you take time to pray and fast over a decision. There are some decisions not to pray and fast over. If it's a decision about getting saved, get saved today. Don't even think about it anymore. Get saved now. If it's an issue of moving to Timbuktu to marry some dweeb, and you say you have an answer to prayer, you better check that prayer out. You better make sure you're making the right decision. You better make sure this guy's right, this girl's right, this job's right. You better make sure selling's right. You better make sure buying's right. You need to make sure that the camels have first drunk. All right, there's something else. Look in verse 19. Reminds you of something else. In verse 21 and 22, this guy is standing there, still wondering, even after this prayer is answered, whether God has made his journey prosperous or not. Notice verse 19, another little aspect here. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. Would you notice there that Rebekah made a promise? She promised to water the camels. God heard her promise to water the camels. The man heard her promise to water the camels. Now, I don't know what kind of promises you made God or anything like that, but I know this, in verse 19, she allowed those camels to drink until they have done, until they were done. Those camels were full. Those camels were in good shape, right? Okay, Rebekah made a promise. Can Rebekah then finish what she starts? Can Rebekah really follow through and do what she said she was going to do? Can you? Do you? Right? We all come to an altar and we say we're going to do this or that or the other, and God, help me quit. God, I'll quit. This kind of stuff. But do you quit? Rebekah made a promise, and God saw to it that he didn't give this guy the okay until those camels were done drinking, because she said, look, I'll work until the camels are done drinking. Right? As it turns out, she got to marry Isaac. Praise the Lord, man. That's a good thing, right? But Rebekah made a promise. If she doesn't fulfill her promise about feeding those camels till they're done, does she stick by the marriage when it gets rough? It got rough. Did you know that? Look in Genesis chapter... Where is that? Genesis chapter 25. And notice that sometimes folks think, you know, oh, because I'm in love and because this guy is such a cutie, that therefore we're going to have nothing but happiness and joy the rest of our way through. You know what? It never happens that way. Genesis 25, notice verse 19. Now these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife. Got it? He's 40. Look in verse 26, 25, 26. Talking about the birth of Esau and Jacob. After that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bore them. That woman was barren for 20 years, right? I bet she didn't anticipate that day standing by that well, right? I mean, she wants to get married. This guy wants to get her married, right? She did not anticipate there being 20 years that she was going to be barren. Okay? She said she'd feed the camels. She fed the camels. Praise God. She said she'd marry Isaac and be true to him and help him, right? And she did. But would she have if she hadn't been able to finish the watering of the camels? My point is, ladies and gentlemen, Rebekah made a promise. And look, if you don't obey your mother and father, say, about taking out the trash and your chores, why would they trust you with a car? Right? I mean, if you can't do what you say you're going to do when you say you're going to do it, why would we trust your credibility? If you're not faithful in the Bible now, why would you think that you would be faithful to the Bible in the ministry? If you're not faithful to pray now, why are you praying about going in the ministry if you're not even faithful doing what you're supposed to be doing, right? Look, Rebekah had a responsibility. Rebekah made a promise. If you don't redeem the time now, do you think you'll redeem the time in the pastorate? If you're not very good with money now, why would churches entrust you with monthly support to go to Africa to win poor natives to Christ? Right? You've got a promise to fulfill. You have to make sure and take care of those camels. Rebekah made a promise. I would wait until the camels have done drinking. Don't do stuff in haste. There are so many decisions made in haste. There are so many mistakes made in haste. It's just not that often that God says, you have to decide this right now. It's not that often He does that. Salvation? Yes, right? Get out of the way of the train coming down the tracks? Yes. When it comes to, am I going into the ministry? Am I supposed to move to Oregon? Whatever. It usually doesn't have to happen right this moment, and God's mad if it doesn't happen right this moment. It's just not that much stuff. You need to make sure that you take care of your camels. You need to make sure that you fulfill your side of what you said you were going to do. All right? Look, guys, if you're bad at schoolwork, why would you think that you'd be good at a job or career? If you can't even be trusted to finish your homework before school on Monday, why would somebody give you a job and they're going to pay you $75,000 a year and give you a company car? Right? Thank you. You're welcome. Verse 21. Verse 21, the man wandering at her held his peace, to wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. I want you to see here that by the time this thing is over, Eliezer is 100% certain, I'm sure, that this is the woman that Isaac is supposed to marry. He was not embarrassed to take her back on those camels all the way back to Abraham and Isaac, okay? But I wanted you to see here that the confirmation of the will of God resides in patience. That is, this guy did not know whether this was the woman or not until after those camels had drunk. I don't know if it was a 30-minute job, an hour job. I'm not sure how long it takes for 10 camels to get their fill. But I think it was work, right? And I think, ladies and gentlemen, that that this guy stood by and waited until she fulfilled her part and took care of his camels like she said he was going to do. I want you to know that the confirmation of the will of God resides in patience. Sometimes, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but have you ever had a definitive prayer answered and then, I don't know, within hours or days or whatever, it seemed like there was a hiccup in that thing, and you thought so, you were so sure that God had answered your prayer in the positive or whatever, and you followed through on it, and yet then it turned out maybe it wasn't so sure. I'll give you some for instances. We've bought 2 houses since we've been here in Minnesota through the years. We got in one in 93, then we moved out to Oak Grove in 03. Each of those times with those houses, we built the first house and so on. And, you know, is all this, you know, the machinations of trying to figure out a way to make it work and all that. And so we prayed and prayed and prayed, and God gave us answers, right? So because of the positive answers we received, we're going to go forward with this. So we went forward with this, put down the money, made the plans and so on. You know, at every both those occasions, having had God answer those prayers very definitively, and each time there was still times that we doubted seriously whether this was really going to happen. You ever had that? I can tell you this, ladies. I've seen it over and over again. Poor Stephanie. I'm sorry, Stephanie, but you're sure you want to marry him, right? Okay. Just so you know, okay, you've prayed, you've got answers and all that. I guarantee you there'll be a point with all these plans with this wedding that you'll come to the point where you go, I don't know if I want to go through this anymore. There are just so many complications. There's so many hiccups sometimes. And even after you've gotten answers to God's will, I just want you to know, folks, that the confirmation of the will of God resides in patience. You have to go through some stuff. You do not get on a soft, cushy pillow and slide down this greased slide and land in feathers. That's not the way the will of God works. The will of God is that you get prayers answered, and then God sends you through some travail and trouble and tribulation to test what your heart is. And sometimes it's because patience needs to work, have her perfect work. Right? James 1. You know this verse, I know. James 1, real quick. Don't worry, I'm almost done. except for you, I'm going to preach to you all night. James 1:3. That's a caribou, by the way. James 1:3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work. All right? Let patience have her perfect work. I'm telling you that the confirmation of the will of God is not just an answer to prayer. The confirmation of the will of God resides in you being patient and working through stuff, right? This guy stood by and waited for this woman to feed his camels. He waited until the camels had drunk before he brought out the jewelry and the candy to make sure that she would marry Isaac. Amen? All right, there's something else, one other thing I think I want to show you. There are two kinds of haste. Got to be careful with what kind of haste you embark. Notice in verse 17 that the servant ran to meet this girl. So there's haste. In verse 18, she said, drink, my Lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher. So she hasted. That's a good thing. Look in verse 19. No, verse 20. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again. She is hasting all over the place. He hasted to her. She hasted to let the pitcher down. She then hasted to go water the camels. That's good haste. That is somebody trying to do what they can. They are. This is a haste and a zeal to keep a promise, to fulfill your word, and to do what you're supposed to do, right? But there is a bad kind of haste. Look in Proverbs 19. I believe if the servant had pulled out the golden earrings and the bracelets and so on, as soon as the girl walked up, I think he would have been acting in haste. You better be careful lest you act in haste. Haste to the will of God. Haste to fulfill all that you can fulfill. But don't haste to a decision when the camels haven't done drinking yet. Look in Proverbs 19. Proverbs chapter 19, and notice verse 2. Also, that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. He that hasteth with his feet sinneth. Many is the soul that wound up in a mess, even though they thought they'd had an answer to prayer. And it was because they hasted. They moved too fast. God wanted them at very least to wait till the camels had drunk. I would suggest to you that you wait until the camels have drunk. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, kept my promise tonight. I was short. I pray that you will help these folks with some things. I know that folks struggle with decisions. There is always a question, Lord, at times about when to pull the trigger on a decision, that sort of thing, when they have enough confirmation from you to go ahead. Pray that this might give them something else to think about, Father, and there are just some things that we do in youth and in immaturity that are hasty and of ill judgment. Pray you'd help us, Lord, give us wisdom as to what the camels are, and give us wisdom as to when the camels have fully drunk. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look in number 334. 334.
Thank you.
have everybody in prayer for a couple minutes here. And in general, we have a very young church. By young, I mean we have a lot of young people in it, young married people, young unmarried people. Many of us that have been married for years in many ways are young still, although you may not believe that. Ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing that ruins things as much as haste. What you have to watch out for is anything that happens, you basically do what you want to do anyway. You interpret things that come your way in prayer and answers to prayer and thoughts and feelings as an indication that all those things are go-aheads for you to do what you want to do. This guy prayed a very, very specific prayer. It was very, very specifically answered. And yet he still waited and still wondered about whether the Lord had truly prospered his journey. I do not think it was lack of faith on his part. I do not think that he was being presumptuous or short of faith or slow or any such thing. I think he was waiting till the camels had drunk because he knew he was going to need those camels, whether Rebecca went back with him or not. And because she had said she would feed those camels all the way till they were full, I believe he wanted to wait and give her a chance to fulfill her duties. And if she hadn't, maybe she was the wrong one. So that brings the spotlight to me and you. It sure is easy in the lives we live to do things kind of halfway, to say we're going to do something and not. When we are out of sight of parents and friends, to not do what we said we'd do. Well, folks, you're never out of sight of the Lord. And he knows whether you did it or not. He knows whether you have allowed the camels to drink their fill or whether you've shorted those camels. Wait until the camels have drunk. Look this way, we're going to sing the third and the fourth. On the third. To apologize to Ian because I forgot again this morning. Ian's going to get baptized here pretty quick. I was going to check to see if there's anybody here that's interested in getting baptized that hasn't been baptized before. If you would like to, please see me. Just want to talk to you for real quick for a second. Put you through the third degree, put you in the interrogation chair, and just let you suffer for a while. But if you are interested in getting baptized, would you please see me? We're going to see if we need to schedule it for some time. Besides just when Ian's going to be here, all right? Let's be dismissed tonight. We're going to have a word of prayer, and Brother Darling's going to lead us, all right?